Hey guys, we are here for the season 5 finale of Orange is the New Black, episode 13, Stormy Weather, coming right up.
You're tuning into the destination for TV superfan discussion, AfterBuzz TV. And now, let the buzz begin.
Animals, trap, 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 till the cage is full. The cage is full, the day is new, and everyone's waiting, waiting on you and you.
Think of all the roads.
Okay, I'm gonna stop.
I really tried that time.
You could be an astronaut with how long you can hold your breath.
And everyone's probably so happy that this is the finale, so they don't have to hear that anymore.
Oh my gosh.
Until next year. Well, welcome everybody. We are here for the Orange is the New Black season 5 finale already, episode 13, Stormy Weather. I'm Scott Moore. You can follow me on Twitter at SMAN80. That's SMAN80. And to my left, camera right.
Hey guys, you can find me everywhere at Sterling Cates.
Hi, I'm Leslie, and you can find me at LesLethaFace on Twitter and Instagram.
Hey, y'all, I'm April, and you can find me everywhere at April Wissenham.
Yay, and you can follow us on social media here on AfterBuzz at hashtag OITNBABTV, and also we've got the chat up now.
Yes, come chat with us.
Yes, because we are chatting about the finale, and it's kind of nice, actually, just to have one episode to go discuss.
I know. What an episode. Yes.
And it was great. I don't know, before we get into the whole finale part, did you want to maybe talk about the overall season at large and maybe some of your favorite points and things that you liked or didn't like or what
I really think that they pulled it off, because when they started off the season and I was like, okay, this whole thing is going to be just the whole riot. And I was like, oh, is this going to work the whole time? And I feel like they pulled it off. I enjoyed it, and it was actually one of my favorite seasons. So I liked it.
I will add to that. See, now having seen the finale, finally, I feel like all of us were so confused during the season talking about it, just because we were like, we don't know if this is going to work. This isn't enough character development, that sort of stuff. Because it is such a short period of time, and usually, I mean, the time in the show is weird anyway. But I feel like this season in particular was definitely an experiment for the writers and for the showrunners. So, but having seen the finale now, I am very satisfied with how they wrapped it all up. And I'm also very excited now for the sixth season to see where it goes from here, because there's so many ways that it could.
Yeah. I feel like I'm definitely eating my words in a sense, because like we all said, just like you said, how are they going to do this? How are they going to wrap this up? There are so many, you know, loose ends that need to be tied up. And I am like 100% satisfied with the amount that were and with the amount that weren't. And then obviously we see, you know, some reasons why they didn't do things that we were wondering the whole time. Like, why aren't they doing this? What's going on? So I think it was definitely an experiment that played off well.
Yeah, I agree. I had kind of the same thing, especially after those first two episodes.
Yeah.
And I kind of thought, are we really going to go with just this riot for the entire season? And how's it going to work out? I do think they did a brilliant job, because it was an experiment, sort of like you were saying, Sterling, is coming from their timeline. They had the freedom to go months and, you know, really let time go by. And here they had 72 hours, and you had just dealt with a very emotional, dramatic moment at the end of season 4. And how are they going to keep this going and be able to have so much go on in such a short amount of time and pull it off, too? And I think that they did a really good job with it. And once we delve a little deeper into things, I still have some issues with some of the character development, some things with Piscatella, and other little things here and there. But I think overall it was a solid season. And hopefully once we recap this episode, we'll also have time to maybe go into some predictions of what we think, because there's so many loose ends, on where a season 6 would go now, since we know there's season 6 and 7 at least. Where do we think they're going to go with all that? So is there anything else you guys wanted to add as for the overall
other comment on that is, you know, for the first 5 seasons, it kind of got to a point where, especially at the end of season 4, where I was like, okay, how are they going to, like, keep this up with the same prison, with the same characters, with that sort of stuff? So now there's so much opportunity to bring in new people, to bring in new environments, and we know that they have, what is it, a couple more seasons for sure. So I feel like there's just a lot of opportunity to completely like revamp this show and kind of get us out of Litchfield a little, maybe. So I'm excited about that.
And I think this season also did a good job. It was very telling on, even though it was just this short period, of people's personalities, and it told us more about their characters, because the way they reacted to the riot maybe gave us more insight into their personality. Some people that kind of blended into the background maybe before like ended up being very prominent in this, and then other people who were troublemakers are still troublemakers. Someone like Alex, you know, it was like, I'm gonna stay away from the drama, and then you see Piper. So I feel like it revealed a lot of everyone's characters, and then now as we're gonna see them, you know, go on their separate ways perhaps, like, will, I don't know, I feel like I'm more interested in finding out what's gonna happen to them because I learned more.
And I think they did a good job, too, this season about still having some of the outsiders, too, in their storylines and keeping them current. And there's so many things that we still have to kind of see what happens, because that is the thing, like you bring up, April, is the fact that it was only 72 hours and there are so many different directions because there are so many loose ends that were not tied up that there's a lot that can now happen now with the season six, and there are so many different directions they could go in because of all those things that weren't tied up so neatly, and because it was such a short period of time, and there's so much that happened in such a short amount of time. So it'll be fascinating to see how they move forward with that. But just getting into the meat of the episode, you know, just opening up with that, because at the end of 12, we saw basically they were coming in, the riot police were ready to storm the buildings and the building, and we start basically right where we left off at the end of 12, and I loved, like we were talking about just off camera before, with Etta James, and and always getting that kind of stuff where you've got like the stormy weather song, but then you're seeing the craziness going on with the riot police coming in and barreling in and trying to take back control now of the prison. What was your first thought when they first went in? Were you thinking this is just going to be mayhem and this is going to be really end really badly? For did you think anybody was going to have any issues?
Go ahead, April.
I thought it was a little, you know, first thing that they do basically is they have that like shock tray. I have no idea what it's called, but you know, the thing that they were holding that was like yay high and that shocks people. That's the first thing that they did, and it's like, wait, she clearly like has nothing in her hand. Like, why are you doing that? So I thought they were going to use maybe actually a little more force than they did. There is the part of me that does go back to think, because of course us watching it, we have a connection to these characters, we automatically think like, oh, any kind of force or whatever used on them is a bad thing. But then I did kind of get reminded of, okay, it is a prison, they did just like riot, and there are people trying to stand up against them now. But I think it's a thing of, I thought it was going to go worse than it did, and I thought it was relatively realistic, I guess. It was interesting to me to see that they were still pretty, like, brutal, let's say. Definitely not as brutal as the COs have been this season, and as, you know, as far as them not being trained and everything. And, you know, I liked the part where they showed the guy, you know, holding the gun right here, and he's like, no, shoot up, that's not the aim. Where, you know, this whole season and last season, the aim with the COs was to hurt and to harm and to kind of traumatize the people. So I almost appreciated the fact that it wasn't just like, okay, like, you know, handling everyone with kid gloves. It seemed realistic, but then at times, obviously, it definitely seemed like a bit more intense than it needed to be.
And then with the COs, I feel like you saw bits of both, like some of them like, oh, okay, they're taking certain precautions, they're doing this, but then other times they felt like some of their behavior mimicked some of the ones that the untrained COs had. And then it also kind of, it's disillusioning because it's like, oh, okay, this is supposed to be like the professional top grade SWAT team, but they still are susceptible to a lot of the same mentalities and errors that the untrained people do. So it made me fearful for like what's going to happen to everybody.
The fact that this was the professional SWAT team and they still had that young one kid. That didn't really know how to use any of the weapons and that sort of stuff, or the proper protocol, that's still, I mean, that's the problem. It's just the system as a whole. It doesn't really matter what level you're on. That's what's messed up. But
And I thought they brought a good point with that too, which we'll get into in a little bit.
And April, going off what you were saying, I agree with, like, I kind of felt like they were going to be more violent. When they stormed, I was like, oh my god, they're about to kill everyone in here. And that was just the way, I guess, it was set up in my mind. But it was interesting to see that they were almost more aggressive with the people who surrendered. Like,
yeah.
when Lorna yeah. went out, she's like, I'm pregnant, just, like, walk me yeah. out. And they're like, you know, we don't see what actually happens to her, but in my head, I imagine it was...
Yeah, well, they tore her yeah. down and...
Yeah,
and
but there were so many powerful scenes and mm-hmm. images that they showed during this episode, like the one with So-So.
Oh my gosh.
Just tears, yeah. just crying. And then obviously the one at the end, but.
Right.
Yeah, so it was interesting to see how they handled it versus what I thought it was going to be.
I know, because I think the same thing too. I thought at first they were just going to come in and just wipe everyone out, essentially, just be incredibly violent, try to end it really fast. Yeah. I love the beginning where they're down in the bunker. And they hear all the commotion up above, and Frida's like, yeah, I think the riot police are probably in now, 25 of them or so. And at this point, they're coming in, and it was hilarious because it brought a nice levity to it.
Yeah.
But it was interesting that a lot of the women down in the bunker decided to leave, because to me, I would have thought my natural instinct would be, I want to stay where I'm protected. I don't want to run out, because they had no idea what was going on up there.
I think they thought, like, okay, obviously something's happening.
Right.
If we, like, give up, then... Or that's exactly what they said. If we give up, you know, maybe they'll know we were innocent and didn't want anything to do with it. Because my initial thought was, like, okay, y'all just need to go. Like, because it's just like Lorna did, how she walked out. Like, you know, hands up, I'm pregnant. You would think that would be the smarter thing to do.
Right.
But then I guess, you know, they did have Piscatella in there at the time.
Right, exactly.
So somebody clearly had to stay.
Right.
But I don't know. I kind of like went both ways as far as...
I was the same. I was conflicted. And I feel like that's really amazing that the show was able to do that. Because I was like, wait, I don't know what the best option is. Like, should they go out or should they stay put? Which one's going to put them more in the line of fire? And I couldn't tell.
I thought of that when Red said to them, we're going to be safer down here. I was like, well, how does Red know? I mean, she has experience. Mm-hmm. But you know what I mean? Like, how does she know for sure that they're going to be better down
here? All I thought was the fact that they're supposedly, which found out later, maybe not so much, but I thought they were in a secure space that nobody knew that they were down there.
Right.
Nobody knew it existed. They had plenty of food and everything and water, supposedly. So I thought, hey, the best thing is to just wait it out. Let it calm down, because I kept thinking the moment you walk out of that safety and there's firing weapons or violence going on, that they're going to immediately be caught up into it, because it would be harder to walk out and leave and not know what was going on. So in my opinion, I thought it seemed odd that so many of them were like, let's go out right now, instead of waiting to see how it would kind of calm down a little bit first, because I felt like they were in relative safety and obscurity. But I get both sides to it too, because I thought, you're right, maybe if you do walk out, you're ending it quickly and it's easy, but it just felt like they were in a safe space then to walk away from
it. You kind of know, like, eventually you're gonna get caught, even if no one knew about you know, the old pool or the room where they were. It's like, you can't stay in there forever. You're gonna eventually have to do something. So that's why, you know, at first thought I was kind of like, okay, so just go, like, get it over as soon as you possibly can, because I mean, that's where it's going to end up being anyway.
Eventually.
But then, you know, obviously they did the right thing staying at the same time too, so.
One thing I was trying to figure out is when one of the SWAT guys tells them that there's 10 people missing.
Mm-hmm.
But so there's 10 down in the bunker now.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But then Pensatucky is in that cabin.
Mm-hmm.
I know who you're talking about, but I can't think of
it. I wrote it down. Who escaped?
The lady.
Oh, Chang. Chang escaped.
Yeah, Chang escaped, which was
And so funny. They're counting Linda, and she's not really a prisoner, so that's like one more.
Mm-hmm.
And then maybe Maria, because she's over there with her family.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah, maybe. That's true.
And then that makes up for the two.
Yeah,
but then there's one more, because that would be Maria Pensatucky. Or maybe they are counting. So maybe they're not counting. They're counting Linda.
They're definitely like,
There's like one person off.
Right. Yeah. There's still one person. Because I kept thinking that too. I'm like, their numbers are
off. Like, literally wrote down all the names. I'm like, Frida, Red, Piper, Alex.
I know.
And then, so I maybe they don't have. Oh, I was like, are they counting Maria, Linda, and Daya? They're obviously not counting Chang and Pensatucky. I don't know.
Well, that's I thought too. They were off on the numbers. And I kept trying to figure that out too. I'm like, were they. I don't know how they got the numbers and what they were, but they were definitely off, because you're right, because I was saying the same thing. They weren't counting her and they weren't counting Pensatucky.
Right.
So.
And Linda's definitely in the count
Linda's
now.
Linda's in the count in the mix.
Forgetting, because I feel like they made a point to mention the numbers.
Twice.
Yeah, that's why it was very odd.
And he
about
was
it.
Like, we've got every single guard counting.
I wonder, if anyone mentions on chat, because I actually, that was something I thought about and I kept thinking the number is off.
Yeah.
Maybe there's someone why we didn't see that somehow it was hiding, or I don't know.
It was, it was very It was very interesting. No, because I did the same thing you did, and I went back and watched it. I'm like, wait, their numbers are definitely off, and I couldn't figure out if we were supposed, if that was on purpose, or if that was, because you
wait, so they're too short then, right? Yeah. If they're saying we're missing 10, but there are 10 mm-hmm. people in the bottom, so there's but they're counting Linda.
So there's 12 people missing altogether. And this is like assuming they're including Daya and Maria.
Okay.
Who Maria's like over there with her family. This is assuming she's accounted for.
Right. Oh, okay.
So there's 12 that aren't outside. So Frida, Red, Piper, Alex, Flores, Nikki, Cindy, Suzanne, Tasty, Gloria, Chang, and Pensatucky. Mm-hmm. And then I'm assuming they're counting Linda since she's out there for the count. Yeah. So then that would be one more. So they're like one off.
One off, yeah.
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 Hmm. So where is Sophia? Oh, wait, no, she left
herself into the Mac.
She turned herself in early. Yes. That, real smart, probably.
Yes. Yeah, avoided all that.
Yeah.
But I missed her this season.
I know. That's what I'm wondering about. Part of my thing for next season.
That's got to be something. But I don't even know if that's like something small that, I mean, we don't have an episode.
It's true, though. They wouldn't have said it, I feel like, twice.
Yeah.
Well, that's what because when they brought it up again, that's when I thought, well, what's the reasoning behind this? Because you know that
it's something.
Well, because you know that if they were off just...
Yeah.
Because it happens, mm-hmm. you know, people aren't perfect, and they miss it in post and editing and all that they wouldn't have brought it up the second time. When they did the second time, that's where I'm like, they did it on purpose. Well, see,
someone like Chang is a character we don't normally remember.
Right, so that's what I'm
maybe
saying.
There's a character over the 5 seasons that we've seen that maybe we've forgotten, and maybe they're gonna like she's somewhere completely on her own.
Or that number was including Maria, so or they're not counting Maria because she's over there with her husband and. Or
I don't know. It was interesting because I had the same.
Lineup. Yeah.
I had the same thoughts on that. I don't know if anyone has anything to say.
Any
in chat
theories?
That could have just been a mistake, but maybe not.
I thought the same thing, but then when they mentioned it the second time, that's when I started thinking, well, maybe there's a reason behind this.
Yeah.
And because I always feel like sometimes they're so good at what they do with the details that they mentioned it on for whatever reason that was. Mm-hmm. You know, we have Gloria still trying to run to Caputo's office because she wants to make the call to get mm-hmm. hold of her son. So she's in her own little world separate from everyone else. Mm-hmm. So she goes back there and hides, which I also thought was risky, but then I thought, I guess, you know, the riot police were not going to look in there because the window, it was dark, but I still thought, God, it seems like a very easy place to hide that someone would want to sweep that to make sure nobody was there.
It seemed
I don't know.
Like a natural thing that they would just kind of like open every door.
It just seemed very obvious, like a very obvious place to hide.
Yeah.
Like right in the middle of everything, but then on the flip side, maybe because it would seem so obvious and it was dark and they're busy with other stuff, they walk right past it. But I thought it seemed very like obvious. Like I'm just shocked that nobody went in there, turned on the lights, and made sure nobody was in there.
I guess for the purpose of us hearing that her son is okay,
Which we needed
to get away with that. Yeah,
which we needed that because we did need to know what was going on and we wanted to have that little bit of resolution there because if that would have been a lot to be hanging over now.
Right.
Going into the next place, she was not going to get any call or any kind of
indication. So we
kind of
need to get that taken care of. So for the
And especially now that we don't know what happens to her, at least she knows that her son's okay.
Her son's going to be okay, exactly. And then we had Nikki Morello having some great moments in this episode too, and it's really great to see their friendship through all the ups and downs and the attractions they have that run a little deeper than a normal friendship. There's a lot of layers there.
Right.
But at the end of all of that, it's really great to see how supportive that Nikki is for Lorna through everything she's going through.
Right. I feel like this season we saw a lot of growth with Nikki because, I mean, she's been such a hot mess in the past.
She has.
Right. I feel like she really was the caretaker this season.
Yeah. Yeah.
For Morello and for Red.
And for Red, which we brought up on a previous episode about that, is how it was great to see the tables had turned when Red was the one that sort of needed the support from all the time when she was coming off of her own drug stuff that for so many seasons she was doing that for Nikki.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So it was really great to see that flip.
And this is someone who broke her heart, you know, many times, and yet she's still like putting her first and making sure that she's happy. I just feels like I don't know. I feel like I really liked her a lot this season.
Like a certain maturity
so
that
much.
She had to deal with.
And
that.
Selflessness.
Mm-hmm. And it really showed a sense of maturity when she did, when she was there for Lorna at the end there when she was freaking out and she was like 5 more minutes, which 5 minutes in a riot like seems like a lot of time. But also the fact that, you know, last episode we saw her talk to Vinny and she didn't even bring that up and she didn't need to because that made it when Vinny came later like he did it on his own and that meant more for Lorna to see that he wasn't forced to be there and that he believed her on his own. Mm-hmm. Hopefully he doesn't
they had a nice moment.
Say Nikki called or whatever, but
Which maybe he, I don't know, I feel like he would at some point just naturally bring that up, like, oh, well, Nikki called and it was really, we had this great conversation, and, you know, it just feels like an obvious thing that you would bring up, or vice versa.
For Nikki, though, when you want to be with someone, I feel like you would be want to, like, be like, oh, well, I did this. Don't worry, I talked to him. Don't worry, I fixed it, that sort of thing. But instead, she was just like, it's going to be okay, and then it was.
Yeah, because that is a bigger thing to do, to be able to step back from the attraction part of it and separate yourself from that and be able to say, okay, this is bigger than me at this point.
Yeah.
And to be, like you said, to have that maturity and that kind of growth to be able to do that when she has been in such a selfish place in the seasons past and or just totally bonked out on drugs and everything that she could think clearly. So it was really great to see that. And it was great to have her have more of a role this season too, because we've had some of the previous seasons too where she didn't have much to do besides being a little bit of a foil there or being the one that was just the crazy
I've always thought she's like one of the smartest people I think in the prison, but you don't get to see
you don't get to see that.
That's just because she's always acting super selfishly and she's high and she's trying to get drugs and all this stuff, so to see her sober taking care of everyone else, it's just, who is this person? Yeah. You know, it's completely different.
She's all grown up.
Character.
She's
all grown up. And she got a makeover, so.
Yeah.
Right? Really living her best point. Life.
Living her best
prison life.
Yeah, it was great. And I loved being able to have her have that opportunity with just that character development. And I think the writers did a great job with that, too, where, it, you know, it's a fine line where it doesn't come across too cheesy or fake or. It wouldn't be in her character's norm to do something like that. I love when the moms are outside, too.
Oh, I know.
And you had Piper's mom, and you had Suzanne's mom out there, and it was just like, aww.
Yeah.
You know, it was really a sweet moment. Because both of these moms are going through a very similar traumatic experience, thinking about the safety of their daughters in there. And it was just a really sweet moment that I loved it.
Right.
It was just important to have that softer moment there.
And especially seeing what Suzanne is going through inside. Mm-hmm. But knowing that her mom is outside was a little comforting.
Yeah, it was. Absolutely. But speaking of Suzanne, that was a big part of this episode.
Right.
And we start out with the fact that she's not waking up. She's really out of it from the lithium. And did you have a moment where you were nervous about that, thinking that was the end of it?
Well, because I just knew, I just, like, felt the death coming.
Yeah.
Not necessarily with her, but I just, like, felt it in the episode.
Yeah.
And so I'm like, I mean, that would be a crazy character shakeup, you know, if they had done that.
They can't get rid of her.
Definitely for a little bit I thought that, but then I was like, there's just no way they can do that.
I know.
So seeing her kind of, you know, essentially, like, come back to life was like a... an uplifting part of the episode that we definitely needed.
It was.
A lot of other stuff was just so heavy.
And then even the way she was just acting afterwards, like she was like happy, normal, rested Suzanne and eating peanut butter.
It was out of the jar, also, like Winnie the Pooh, like with honey.
It
was like
happy.
Winnie the Pooh-ing it.
I loved it.
Yeah, but also she was very insightful. Like her whole analogy with, you know, the clouds are just your feeling and the sky is your reality and all this stuff. And I was like, that is such a good way to look at it. I was just like, wow. Really insightful. And then she got cut off, unfortunately.
She just needed some rest.
But I feel like Suzanne, in the past couple of episodes anyway, have been more in support of Tasty and Tasty's performance. And I feel like, I mean, I talk about her every week, and you guys are probably sick of it, but I love her so much.
I
really think that she needs to be up for the Emmy. You know,
absolutely.
Especially this past season.
Absolutely.
But, I mean,
she's a nomination and maybe a win because it was her season.
Absolutely.
She was
amazing. This was her season.
Absolutely.
And I really enjoyed watching Tasty this episode and the finale kind of come to terms with how she did act in those negotiations. Mm-hmm. Was it really for Prusse? Was it for her pride? I don't think it necessarily was her pride that got in the way. There's probably some hints of that in there. But I do think, and we saw this at the end with the final scene between her and Piscatella, that that she just hasn't really had the chance to grieve.
Right.
And I think hopping on those negotiations was her way of processing Pusse's death, and whether it was effective or not, at the end we finally get to see her have this like cathartic experience with what has happened and kind of come full circle. and I really enjoyed watching her journey.
Yeah, through the past few episodes, we've gotten
some small doses of her past, right? And she's never gotten a chance to really like find like her passion or her strengths. And I feel like in the negotiations, she shined. You know, like you got to see that, you know, she would be really good at whatever field of industry she went in. And I don't know, I felt like maybe she felt confident in that in herself, like through trying to do this crusade for Pusse, she's also found like some strength that she had never gotten a chance to tap into before this because she's been behind bars or in tough circumstances.
For sure.
I mean, she's always like, we've seen her kind of take care of Suzanne this, you know, throughout the entire series and Pusse, you know, before she passed away. But I think it was just the perfect way to have her not have to like actually deal with what was going on. And you know, just like how they say, like you mentioned, you know, it being her pride, I don't think it was really that. I think it was just her being so in her head, like, okay, no, this terrible, terrible thing happened, so all of these things have to happen or it's not justified, when really like nothing was gonna justify it no matter what. So you know, her in her final scene with, you know, just the emotion that she just gives out.
That was the
just,
winning performance right there. You took everything out from the season and you had that one moment there.
It's
that
very difficult. And because, I mean, of course, we're like all huge fans of everyone on this show. Some a little more than others. But it's very difficult to me to kind of outshine, in a sense, Suzanne. Not that she did, because Suzanne had, of course, insanely amazing, you know, scenes this season. But that just kind of like took the cake for me right there. Just the way... it just felt like such like real
raw
emotion. It felt
so raw and real. Exactly. Right. You're exactly right.
What did you guys think about, since we're talking about her little, her speech, not little, it's a very huge speech at the end. But what did, how did you guys feel about Piscatella's kind of response? Like, you don't want to be like me. You don't want to act like me. That sort of thing. Because I felt really torn. Because I was like, no, because obviously I didn't want her to shoot him because I want the best for her. And that's not going to end well for her.
Exactly.
I didn't really care if Piscatella died or not, to be completely honest. Which is probably, I need to reflect on that. But
I agree.
I need to go home and think about that.
I was like, I don't care about him. I care about her. Yeah. So, and I didn't, I obviously
was
shooting
really
him
nervous
was,
that yeah, she so was going to do it.
Exactly.
Yeah, it was but too, because like, emotions.
His lines, though, seemed genuine, but I didn't feel bad for him.
Yeah.
And I don't know. I was very torn with his response because I, like, kind of wanted to be like, yeah, you don't want it. Because then it kind of came full circle with what he did in his past with the flashback. So maybe we did get a little bit of something from his flashback, but it still didn't come full circle for me with his background.
No, me either.
I think that the reason why I literally feel the exact same way as you, I definitely didn't feel bad for him, but it was the first, like, to me, truly genuine moment that he's had this whole time. Because if you notice throughout the episode, you know, they are talking about Alex killing the guard because Red mentions that. And you just, and they keep flashing back to him sitting over there, and you kind of see his face like understanding maybe a little more. Not that he, not to say he was understanding of them, but I think he actually meant it in the sense of like, I think he knew like, okay, this something, at this point, like something bad is just going to happen. You know, I don't think he thought that he was going to get away, but it seemed like genuine, like this hurt, this, you know, pain that she felt, he saw it, and he was like, you don't want to be like me, you don't want to have to go through the same thing.
I think he was completely genuine in that moment. I feel like him and Red have a weird, they have like a weird competitive thing, and with when it was like Red threatening him, and it was almost like he was still like full of bravado, still showing her, but I feel like when Tasty had that moment, and you know, she just lost in the negotiation, she came so close, and now she literally has nothing. That's why I was afraid she was really going to do it. Because it's like, well, this is the only thing she can do is kill him, even though she might lose a bit
and
of
have
her
that
soul.
Control. Yeah. Have that moment of control.
And I feel like he's, like you said, he saw that. And I feel like that's why, even though I didn't really care as far as him, like, I do feel like that was realness. He was literally trying to say, like, please don't do this. He saw that in her.
Right.
And I'm glad she still, it resonated regardless of what happened.
Well, and I think that for Red, seeing Tasty in that position where she, like, Red probably thought she was going to kill him. And so that probably put a lot of things in perspective for Red because she, because it all comes back to her. He's in there because of her, whatever. And it's honestly, and Alex just had that whole conversation. Was it worth it? Is this whole thing worth it? Worth him having him in here? Whatever. So I think that whole scene just wrapped up really nicely with Red making that decision to let him go.
Which ended up being perfect.
Yeah. I mean, to me it was almost the braver option.
Yeah.
Was to let him go. Sure. You know?
Sure. Like, yeah.
It was a more difficult thing to be able to let him go free like that. And
absolutely.
It was the bigger thing to do. And
they could have easily killed him and been like, oh, it was self-defense. Oh,
right.
He was doing this.
Absolutely.
They already have
because they have
video.
The video. That's what
or
I'm saying.
Or he escaped and they can do something with his body
exactly.
or whatever.
So that to me was the fact that they were able to do that in the middle of all that. And even like going back to Tacy and trying to process everything. We think that was only like 4 days ago when Jose was died. So it's all still so raw. She hasn't slept. She said that in the previous episodes.
She hasn't dealt with it.
She's been up the whole time, so she's not thinking clearly. And to have that moment, that breakdown moment, and still not basically just blow his head off was incredible. Because like you were saying, April, it just felt so raw and real. Yeah. You felt like it was really happening in real time. And it was so difficult. And I didn't really even know what was going to happen because I was thinking the same thing. I was like, is she just going to blow his head off because she can't deal with it anymore?
Yeah.
And that's going to be dramatic. Because either way, we'd watch as a viewer and be like, this was dramatic. And people, as you know, the audience would be very happy in a way because Piscatell was the villain of this season in a way. And it would be good comeuppance and all this stuff. So, but then you would think about the consequences later. But that's something you could think about in a future season. But
in the chat, Ashley Lyles just said, the whole season's theme was, this is bigger than me. And that's such a good point.
Yeah,
because
it is.
It's like, I was literally just popped into my head about how we started the season with a prisoner holding a gun to a CO, and then we ended the same way.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. And how like different those, well, obviously the scenarios are different. You have people yelling, and pressuring, you know, much different scenarios.
But different scenarios, just in different.
Exactly. And it's like they learned, and it's different people, but, you know, Daya in that moment whenever she shot, the officer, she was like, this is what the only thing I have to do. There's so many people yelling in a sense, this is bigger than me, you know, like what's happening. And then that's kind of how it ended up with, you know, Tacy obviously ended up making the wrong decision when it comes to the negotiations anyway.
Making the right decision in that moment.
Exactly.
And I just loved the way it unfolded. It was so poetic. I was just like, the whole time when he runs out, and then, you know, what did you guys think of that moment when he got shot?
I just thought it was so fitting that untrained guards or whoever shot him and killed him.
The whole thing he's been like going against,
the whole thing he caused. Mm-hmm. And instead of Tacy killing him, the fact that his own system that he's enforced is the thing that took him down.
With the same attitude that he had.
Yeah. And not only that, did I think it was like super fitting and I felt satisfied by it, but I also think that now that they've killed him outside of it, I feel like now they'll enter down there a little more careful.
Yes, exactly.
And they won't kill everyone.
Exactly.
You know what I mean? Because now they have two guards that are dead. They have Piscatella and they found the other guy.
Humps, right.
And they found Humps.
They're
so
going to actually
like,
think before shooting, which is what they should do, but...
Well, it could go two ways.
They
could either be like, oh, wow, they're really, like, fighting back.
Yes.
We need to go in there
or, like,
aggressively.
Revenge, in a way.
Like
revenge because they're taking out the guards.
Right.
We're going to...
Even though they just took out the guards.
Right. But they're thinking,
you know...
You know
that's
going to
come back on.
But my initial reaction was maybe they'll pump the brakes a little bit.
I think they will.
Yeah.
That's what I think.
I hope, but
they can't wipe out the whole main cast.
No.
That's
not
going
to happen. No, but to do something dramatic because, like, I was going back to... I will say it was a little too... yeah, exactly. Everyone just... And that's it. And that's it for season six. I thought it was too... It was good, but it was also like, okay. Sort of... I don't want to say contrived, but it was sort of like, okay, we... You know, he walked out and then...
On the nose?
Yeah.
Really?
And
I was like...
And he got killed right away. I mean, I thought it was
like,
good because we needed that closure, but it felt a little too easy and convenient at that moment. I almost just wanted a little bit more of him having to deal with something before he was just shot the minute he walked out. So there's a little bit of that.
But they had that discussion earlier where he was like, you can't shoot right after me, you have to shoot at the lake.
Right.
It was almost like foreshadow, like this is
well,
he's not going to listen.
Of course, and I was thinking, it, like going back to probably what April was thinking last episode when she had made like, oh, one of them's going to either Alex or Piper or something because of the whole proposal. So I started thinking like, oh, yeah, that's foreshadowing for one of the main characters.
Yeah,
I thought
it was going to be Piscatella. And that's why when kind of going back to Suzanne with that whole moment where I thought, oh my God, she's dead, I went both ways because I thought they clearly don't care about taking out main characters anymore, right, because they did that with Poussey last season. But then at the same time, like, well, is that now going to be now too much, because now they're doing it again in the season finale the next season, and they're killing off a main character, and I'm like, I don't see that happening the same way. So then I started thinking there's no way, and especially Suzanne, I'm like, there's no way they're going to get rid of her. But then at the same time, I thought maybe they would, because it was, you know, so I went back and forth in that moment, because when they shot her with the EpiPen and she didn't wake up right away, I thought, oh my God, maybe they really are going to do this and they're going to take us down that path. But I thought it was really great when she woke up and was like, hey, what do you got? What's the big deal? You know, and that was such a great scene when they came down. First of all, when they went down there too.
And they're all like holding hands.
And they're all working together now for a positive, good cause together. And because they had been in their separate spaces and they had their separate priorities, like Tasty had, and to have them come together at the end there as one cohesive group, and sort of our lead group that we've loved since season one, and they were all there together.
Hand in hand, like arm in arm.
Arm in arm. It was really a powerful moment.
Speaking of teams, I really wanted to talk about the fact that, I don't remember all of their names, but Team Latte, like, coming together at the end, and like, I don't know, it was such a nice, I really appreciated it, because, you know, again, you got to see, like, different people sort of shine this season, and they kind of had a friendship, but then they fell off, but then at the end they still like get together, and I don't know, I was kind of like, I wanted them to fight a little some of the inmates with like the SWAT people, because they were already getting on my nerves, so just to see them like fight back a little and like give them some help.
That was very creative. It was like the Home Alone thing.
It also reminded me of the scene. For some reason, this is where my mind went, in Parent Trap, where they said,
Yeah, that's right.
They do the honey and all that stuff. I just thought it reminded me of like a summer camp.
And it was sort of like their.
But like a hardcore.
It was some levity in the episode. And,
but it was also like in a weird way, but it was like they're protecting their turf. They're protecting their home from these invaders that were coming in. It's sort of that weird thing, because it's like they're trapped in a way, because they're in prison. But in a way, that's now their home. And now you have these intruders coming into your home, and it's like they're protecting their home from these outsiders. And I thought that was kind of an interesting juxtaposition what you normally think
about. And
they're
uniting, and these are two groups that would have never spoken to each other, would have hated each other until, you know, they were released and still gone on about their racist ways. But I don't know, they found, like, common ground, and that was really cool.
But they also, like, both groups individually had been fighting for the past 4 days. In their own way, against whatever, and now to see them come together finally, it's like maybe we should have all come together in the beginning of this. But
I definitely thought it was gonna go a different way. I thought, you know, oh, people start fighting back, you're just gonna like get shot pretty much. But I'm happy that they didn't.
They like carried them out in those little burrito things.
That was pretty comfortable. Actually.
I know, right?
I was like, oh, I don't have to walk. That's kind
of nice. I know. I thought the same thing. I'm like, can I get one of those? Carry me around. I also, before we get to, because I know we only have a few minutes left, and I want to get to everything with the episode of the finale, and hopefully we have some time to talk about predictions. I can't speak anymore by the end of the night. But I love the Floritza scene, too.
Oh my gosh.
And I thought we definitely have to talk about that, because it was sad, and that kind of goes into what we think is going to happen with season 6. But when the women are all sort of just split up from each other, and it was really... It was really
crushing.
They
built up to it so well, because we've always known they were friends, but this whole season they really bonded over their social media
and then they
posted their last video online.
I know, I was like, oh my God.
And that was like one of the saddest moments for me in that episode.
I cried. I'm not afraid to.
No.
But it was also interesting to see, because that storyline this season has been a moment of like you said, levity for just in general, because there's all this like other stuff going on. But then their scenes were always lighthearted and funny and cute, whatever. But this was actually really intense, because you see the meaning behind it. Like it gave them a sense of freedom. It gave them this taste of freedom,
a purpose,
that sort of stuff. So it gave that whole storyline meaning for me, instead of it just being a little lighthearted moment that it was in the episode.
Exactly. Like, and there was more of a point to it.
And then it made the end, when they get separated, that's when all the tears came.
I mean, Marcy said it in the episode. So she was like, I'm good at this. And, like, you know, this is something she could have done, like, as a career, you know, and she doesn't get to. And she's like, how am I going to go back to, like, just living my life, mm-hmm. you know, right. it's easier when you don't know about it. And it sucks. It was really hard, yeah. I don't know, to see that. And then also I feel like just it's really nice to see the friendship. Like that's just like two friends who like really care about each other. Mm-hmm. They even said like, you know, if we hadn't gotten here, we would have never met. Mm-hmm. Like that's kind of crazy. That's how much their friendship means to them. It right. was yeah. really nice.
It was really, yeah. really sweet and how they much they really cared friends. For each other. No, yeah. it was really sad. But I also love the fact they had fans too.
Yeah,
they
did. That was so great.
I know, they had so signs. Great. That was really cute.
They even appreciated like their sexist comments. They were like, yeah. oh, yeah. thank you for liking my tits or yeah. whatever. Yeah, yeah.
They like perked them up a little
bit. Yeah, that was so funny. So at least there was a little bit of that lightheartedness, but all the way to the end. But yeah, yeah. I would say it had a good point there to be able to see that they did care about each other and to see that this happens, mm-hmm. you know, when people are separated and it was out of their control. And it made me really sad to think about where everyone's going to go. And it made me think about where is everyone going to be in season 6? And
yeah. Well, we've seen like complete separations before. And we have. Then, you know, like, I don't think it's going to go the same way that it did last time right. where like, oh, everyone's magically back together again. Right. But I don't know. I mean, that's a prediction thing that we can talk about, obviously, yeah. but I think it's going to be a little different than last time.
It is. It's going to be interesting. And I also love that Maria had that moment with her kid.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I thought that was nice, too, because earlier, you know, I don't know if it was 10, or when they were sort of showing the current, not
of him, like, in the grocery store.
Right, yeah. when everything yeah. was, like, current, right. but you were seeing their loved ones, everybody out doing their real-life, everyday activities, right. and you had that moment. So it was a nice way of being able to take that moment that they had mm-hmm. and bring it in so that there was a connection there. So when yeah. Maria saw her kid and her baby daddy.
Yeah.
It was great to have that moment and that she had that freedom too, which was really interesting to me because you're yeah. thinking about in such a tight situation there with the riot and everything that they were pretty lenient for these women when they went outside.
Right.
But they had that moment with people and they were able to have that, you know.
I think the governor's rep. I think she realized that Maria is not going to get off or get whatever she was looking mm-hmm. for by bringing the hostages out. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So she's like, you know what? Let me give her
yeah.
those 5 minutes with her mm-hmm. family mm-hmm. because I don't think that it's going to end well for
yeah.
her.
Yeah, I don't think so either.
She's not going to mm-hmm. get the break she was looking for.
No,
yeah.
absolutely not. And I agree with you on that one, which made me sad too for her to have that moment and. But also for her to have that moment because Maria's so tough and we've seen her be so tough mm-hmm. and yeah. be the boss and be in control and, you know, holds bar anything going on. And then to have that softer moment with her was really kind of nice, too, for us to see that side of her.
It's kind of like back to the Maria that we saw in the first few seasons
yes.
before the thing happened
right.
where she got the time added to her sentence.
Yes. She became so unlikable.
So
yeah, she really wasn't that person
no, she
whatsoever.
Wasn't.
She was, like, the nice one
right.
who was friends with everyone.
Yeah.
So I kind of didn't. I mean, obviously, I get why they took her character
right,
where
and
they
hardened
did.
Her from everything she... But it was nice yeah. to see her have that moment again, too.
For sure.
Because of the fact she'd gotten to the point where she's almost so unlikable, mm-hmm. to bring it back in a little bit was really nice. Yeah. And, of course, we still have the Linda Boost stuff going on. And yeah. I love where Linda's out there in lunch. She's like, I work at MTC. And she was like, I work at MTC.
Yeah. I loved that. That's like,
so
not getting
though.
Away with
yeah.
it so
it was.
Fast.
Yeah.
And then there's Leanne and Angie.
I know. They're going to get high
burning,
one more time.
But burning all the...
Burning all the records.
Records, which I think
yeah.
is great. I'm
it
hoping
was.
Somehow that helps the situation. I'm not sure because I'm sure everything's backed up electronically.
Yeah, I was
going
to say they have to have digital files.
You
but
think,
maybe,
but
maybe
not.
Not. And Litchfield, like,
especially,
God knows what's happening
right.
there.
And the fact
yeah.
that they're having, a, you know, this private company run it and they're probably not even... caring about
yeah.
any of that stuff because
yeah.
they probably never thought in a million years that they'd have to worry about it because
right.
the papers are just going to be there forever.
Yeah.
No, yeah, and maybe just like little things like their shots or
right.
like whatever they
yeah.
get.
Yeah.
Won't add up anymore.
Like the extra time that
yeah.
he was like,
yeah,
oh, this
yeah. like
probably
when they get shot.
Exactly,
yeah.
like
yeah.
they talked about earlier in the
I
season.
I wouldn't even be surprised if there's like missing like people that they just don't have.
Right?
Like Chang,
yeah.
just ran out.
Yeah.
Maybe they just don't find her file and that's it. They don't look for her. I don't know. I wouldn't put it past the show.
I kind of
like,
think she's gone.
Yeah.
Oh, you like, know what the other number could be? The chef. What's her name? Because she was
oh.
supposed to get released, and then that same day,
oh,
the riots are Judy.
Oh, maybe.
But, yeah.
But she's gone now.
But she's gone, and she was already going to be released.
I'm just confused how they're getting
know.
The number.
I know. No,
yeah,
I'm there
know.
With you, and if anyone
I'm still
in
thinking
chat,
about that. Because,
no, because it's true. I was thinking the same thing
yeah.
that day. I watched
like,
I went back and watched
like,
it.
Like, are they
to...
including Sophia, even though she's already surrendered? Are
yeah.
they including Judy, even mm-hmm. though she was supposed to be
released
that same
day? Yeah.
I actually think we're probably thinking too much into it.
I know we are.
And that is just like
the number, but we're like,
yeah.
I was just glad they burned the documents, because they were the most annoying people this season, in my opinion. Like, I was just like, ugh, everything they were doing, I was like, you guys are just gross. those people. And yeah. then at the end, it's like they had their nice little kind of selfless moment. I don't know, thinking of like, let's do something crazy, but it might help people out.
I'm just high enough to do something bad.
I know.
So let's go be good people.
Yeah.
I loved the line when Angie said, I wrote it down because I thought it was so funny. She said, what if this whole time we thought we were Ariel and we're actually Ursula?
Yeah.
You are.
I was like, hello. Hello.
That was so good.
I loved that line.
I did too. And you know, again, it was the same thing. They were so annoying, but then they had that moment there again. And they kind of made me feel a little bit. And when she had that moment with her mom,
she's like, she does care. And she does care. Someone does care.
And I think that really helped too, because I think she really thought that nobody loved her at this point.
Right. Yeah.
And she had basically made herself look really bad to her family and her religion. And to have that moment was really good for her too.
We had another moment like that in the Floritza scene when she says, you know, I forget that there's a whole world outside of there. I feel like when you're inside the walls of prison, you forget that there's people out there that care about you. There's people that love you. There's people that are interested and, you know, are concerned with what happens to you. So that was, like, the same feeling.
I agree. And even that scene with them in the closet, like, sniffing the bleach, it's like, oh, that's really gross. Like, really, guys? But then it's also, like, they're doing that because this situation they're in is so crappy. And
they're
literally,
trying to escape.
Right.
It's literally just their way of coping. And
they're also drug addicts.
Well, but that's their way of escape.
But they're addicts trying to find, because of that. They don't think there's anyone out there.
What you're saying, she doesn't think anyone cares about her. And then her mom's there. So
I did not know that you could do drugs that way, by the way.
Yeah, me either.
I was like, oh, you're pouring this into a mop. Okay, this is interesting.
I just thought, oh, God. It's just, I kept thinking, we're really just burning away the brain cells right there.
I mean, you know their brain cells are already burned or whatever away. Because they're kicking the dead guy over so that they can get to them to do it.
Yeah. In the room there, in the broom closet, they didn't even care that he was in there either, because I would have been like, I'm too freaked out.
No, they were just like, what? Okay, hi.
Yeah. But of course, before we get to the very end there, and that's where we get the moment where Caputo is basically saying, hey, there is that one other area there under the pool.
Yeah.
Maybe we should have closed it off, which I thought was a little too convenient again, of course.
That's a big room to just close off.
Yeah, but just like, oh, yeah, well, I forgot about that. That's where they're at. And
they're
probably
that.
Really pissed off, and they're all going to go out and try to attack you, which, of course, we had to amp up the drama.
Right.
But it was like, okay, really? Now you think, because wouldn't you think maybe the other reason is they wanted to hide there anyways because they were scared?
Right.
Or there were other reasons, and thinking right away they're going to try to be up for an attack.
You know what I think it also reveals a lot about Caputo? Like, you know, he, this whole time, he's, like, kind of helping them, but at the same time, they're reminding him, oh, you're still the warden. You're still in charge of all this mess.
Yeah.
The fact that there's this big space there that he's kind of just ignored for
this
whole time.
That's what I'm saying, the whole time.
Inmates are, like, cramped up in each other. Again, he's also part of the problem that he wants to forget.
But
it's like, no, why wouldn't you utilize that?
But that's
that
what I'm saying. Like, that's what was too weird to me is, like, nobody's mentioned that the whole entire time, and then all of a sudden, oh yeah, we forgot to close that off. And like you said, there was all this extra space there that wasn't being utilized, or whatever the case is. I know you could say, oh, they need permits and they need this to make them livable conditions, or whatever the case is, the standard. It was the fact that it wasn't even brought up to the end, and then, oh yeah, well, they're probably going to go out there and want to be ready for an attack.
But they had no reason to bring it up, though, because they didn't know that anyone was missing.
Yeah, it's either convenient writing, or it just shows how, like, really dismissive and just bad warden he was.
Right. Well, and aside from him not bringing it up until now, the way he reacted to it, I felt, was not true to his character that
he's been.
Usually he's been championing
care for the women. Let's make sure that they're safe.
Right.
Don't, you know, just go in there and think that they're going to be up for violence.
Well, I mean, he wouldn't show them where it was.
I think he could go look at who they have and be like, oh, Red's missing.
Yeah.
Suzanne's missing. Tasty's missing.
Yeah. Right.
And the fact that he didn't, you know what I mean? He's not even, he's inside this trailer. He's not even seeing who's gone.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So
know that they're not going to, like, kill these people.
Well, it leads to that big moment, of course, where now we're left with what's going to happen in season 6.
Because
all we have is that last moment before they fade to orange. The women are linking hands together.
Ready.
And we see them basically ready for what's to come.
Yep.
Right.
They blow open the door and fades to orange.
Yeah.
So now we have a cliffhanger for season 6.
Another one.
We have so many directions. Just quickly, because I know we're almost out of time. Anyone's theory, because we have so many things like we were talking about. We also had a little bit of Daya's baby in there again too. And is Bennett going to come back, which we thought he might have come back this season? What's going to happen to her baby? What's going to happen with the women separated on the buses here to go into different prisons? What's going to happen with the women that are there and left behind?
Yeah.
What's going to happen with our main women down in the bunker. Like, there's so many things that are going on.
I think we're going to lose a lot of characters. I have no idea about, like, casting or whatever. Yeah. I feel like we probably won't see Daya. Maybe at least for a while anyway. And I think the show will get some new characters, but I think it's really going to focus on that core group that's in there, just because everyone else is going to be separated. I definitely think they'll touch on that, but I kind of feel like there are going to be some characters that we just won't see again.
And Bailey, of course.
Exactly. And I also think that it's just going to go very, very bad with two dead guards. 100%. Mm-hmm. I think if anything, it could almost get worse because two people are now dead.
What do you mean by worse?
Worse for the women in the prison.
Do you think they're okay? Conditions. Yeah. Yeah. I was gonna say I don't think anyone's gonna die. As far as like when they storm in, I feel Piscatella took that hit, and I'm gonna be positive and say that they're not gonna just shoot and like I think they're gonna get us maybe ruffled up, but they're all gonna be fine. They're gonna they are gonna get split up, and I agree we're gonna follow different people and lose some.
Yeah. Well, obviously, all of these women can't go to the same prison. There's probably not, like, a prison that can take a whole prison's worth of people. Yeah. And I don't think, I think it was Boo said that they don't have room in Max for all of them.
Well, even one of the guards, he was like, you think we would all let you go to the same place after this? Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So I think they'll definitely get split up into prisons. I'm very curious to see how they document that and if they will follow certain characters.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Aside from that, just kind of more specific prediction. I really want to see what happens with Pensatucky and
Coates, which I wanted to bring that up.
We didn't really get into that too much.
They might just hire out.
But they can't like just stay in that house and live like a normal couple. No. I mean, it's just so weird seeing them.
I feel like
so
they're going to try to do that.
But I hate that relationship anyways. I'm like,
rapist. Yeah. But it was such a comfortable. It was like we were supposed to watch it like we liked that happening.
No.
It was very interesting.
I think they did it because I think she might have like a sentence where she's not getting out. I could be totally wrong on that, but so it's kind of like, okay, well, this is happening, we have this time, let's spend it while we can. But I agree, like, are we supposed to like this? Because I don't like it either, and I meant to touch
on that, and we kind of ran out of time, but I don't like that.
We are meant to like it. I think it's supposed to make us feel uncomfortable.
Yeah. I don't know what's going to happen with that, and I still am thinking about what's going to happen with Sister as well when they go back to Max and Sophia. There's so many unanswered questions. I have to go back to April's thing, though. I kind of feel like because of the Alex Piper thing, is something going to happen to one of those characters? Like, to Alex, maybe. Is she susceptible to maybe being killed or injured? Because she was already injured, and we saw that happen already with her arm or shoulder being broken from Piscatella. And is that going to be something to really shake up Piper? Because it felt too convenient when all of a sudden she was being proposed, and they're like, okay, everything's fine now, because we were talking about how it went back and forth all these seasons with their relationship, and maybe something dramatic has to happen and to end that relationship once and for all, or to move it forward. And I just felt like the way they proposed so offhandedly, I'm not sure what's going to happen.
I don't think they're getting a happy ending. I think from last week
that something's going
to
happen.
Like somebody's going to happen. Something's going to happen there. And if there is another death or another thing, it's going to happen the first beginning, and then it's going to carry through the theme, the thread of the whole entire season. But I also agree, it's going to be a lot tougher for them, and I cannot wait to see what season 6 is going to bring, because I have no idea.
So excited. We just have a year to wait.
Right?
It was a good season. It was exciting.
It was a great season, and it was great to have
everyone
here together. Yes, I hope she gets that Emmy, because that was such a great scene.
Well-deserved.
And just a great cast. Great writing, and we look forward to season 6. Until next time, 2018.
Thank you for watching.
Where can they find you all until then?
Y'all can find me everywhere at April Wissenhant.
You can find me at Leslita Face.
You guys can find me on Twitter and Instagram at Sterling Cates.
And you can find me on Twitter at SMAN80. That's SMAN80. And thank you to all the fans and everyone that would chime in all the time in the chat rooms. We appreciate each and every one of you keeping us up to task too, because there's so much going on. Until next time, we'll see you next year, everyone.
Bye.
Bye.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV Network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz, see you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.